Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't drink, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministry. We are just so happy that you could join us today. God is so good. We have made it through another week. We just want to send a thank you out to our listeners that tune in and listen to our broadcast, and that encourages us to keep teaching the Word of God. And like I said, in this day and time, just teaching pure, unadulterated Word truth is not popular. So that is what we're going to be teaching on tonight, the continuation of what is happening in the church, talking about the emerging church, quote, new Christianity, everything is postmodernism. So we're going to be bringing out some things, and I have a reading I wanted to bring out also about the music. We see that this emerging postmodernism have crept into every fabric of the church now. It's even in the music. It's in the preaching. It's in the teaching. It's in every part of the Christian church. That's why God called for people that will make a stand, that will stand for righteousness, for holiness, without compromise. So before we get into the message, I want to just open up with prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you tonight. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory because you are worthy, Father God. Lord God, you made a way for us to be able to go into thousands of homes and preach your word. Lord God, Satan cannot hinder your word from going forth. And Father God, we just thank you that you have anointed us for this end time, that we will be vessels used by you, that we will preach the unadulterated word, and we will stand boldly, and we will declare, and we will cry loud and spare not. Lord God, we just thank you. We worship you. We give you all the honor and praise, and we thank you for our listening audience, and we just lift them up before you, Lord God, and we just ask that you touch each and every one of them. In Yeshua, Jesus' holy name, amen. I want to invite you, if you're in the Atlanta area and you just want to come by and worship with us at Kingdom of God Ministry, we meet every Sunday at 11 a.m., 9550 Bells Ferry Road, Canton, Georgia, 30115. Or you can check us out on the web at www.kogm.net. Amen. Let's get into our program. So the title is What is Happening in the Christian Church, Part 2. But before I want to get into the teaching, I received this writing today in my email, and I thought it would be very beneficial to bring this out in our message tonight. And it will correlate with what we're speaking on. But this was written by a Christian brother, Steve Camp, back in 1997, 1998, okay? And that's been a while ago, but I just want to kind of bring out what he was talking about with the Christian music, and it's so deceptive. But he was saying he wrote this out of love and zeal for biblical truth and the desire to bring it to light. Amen? You hear a lot of static. Can you hear me okay? Amen. Biblical truth and the desire to bring it to light. I come to you, brethren, this is what he's saying, burdened and broken over the current state of Christian music. I come not out of a heart of condemnation, but out of convictions immersed in tears, one in desperate need daily of our Lord's grace to be conformed to his image. I come being aware of the depravity from which I have been saved, and that my heart, apart from the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, is desperately wicked and eternally sick. Early in my own musical journey, I wrote songs that neither represented good music or precise theology. My motives were vitiated. My actions were not godly, and my lips were unclean. He goes on to say, the thirst for prominence and position made my heart prideful, judgmental, and callous. But the Lord, out of his infinite grace and otherworldly, I hear it static. What is that?
Yes, you could.
Okay. Out of worldly, he said, my actions were not godly, and my lips were unclean. The thirst for prominence and position made my heart prideful, judgmental, and callous. But the Lord, out of his infinite grace and otherworldly love, broke me with his chastening and otherworldly love, repentance in my own life, and it's that life of repentance which is my greatest desire and my greatest failing. It is out of the crucible of these experiences that I am driven to speak with conviction to these issues. And then he goes on to say, this document is a call to reformation, clarion call to recover biblical Christianity in the arts. Music is a powerful tool from the Lord Jesus to his church intended for worship, praise, encouragement, edification, evangelism, teaching, admonishing, and exhorting God's people to holiness with always our chief aim to glorify God and worship him forever. But, beloved, the serpentine foe of compromise has invaded the camp through years of statious living, screwed doctrine, and most recently, secular ownership of Christian music ministries. While I assert this, I recognize that there are godly men and women who love the Lord, that work for these companies and record for these companies, but that's not the issue here. The crux of the matter is that the overall nature of our industry has dramatically shifted. The Apostle Paul warns it takes only a little leaven to leaven the whole lump, 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. When sin is tolerated, ultimately permeates and corrupts the entire church. What is pure today will inevitably be polluted tomorrow if we do not purge out the old leaven. In the past several years, there has been a not-so-subtle drifting away from Christocentric. And he go on to say, it's not that long, so I'm the outer way. Christocentric music to anthrocentric music. Sadly, this has resulted in various visible manifestations of spiritual sedition, where currently the Christian music finds itself on a slippery slope, sliding away at accelerated speeds from the Savior, the Scripture, and the church. Contemporary Christian music originally began unashamedly declaring Jesus Christ as Lord. Within a few years, his name was replaced by several generic titles, filtering out the name of God, ultimately to a nonspecific cognomen, love. This led to a multitude of pseudonyms. They will refer to him, you hear it all the time, the man upstairs, or my higher power, or our family values experts, and nauseam, and infantrum. This biblical illiteracy I've coined as theological ebonics, biblical language, diminished to cultural, unintelligible chatter affirmed as profound, acceptable spiritual truth. It is spot on when saying we have seen a change from the emphasis on serving God to an emphasis on serving the self and serving God. You see what he said? Serving self, then serving God. So they're so creative, they'll say, oh, they'll tie everything in with God, but really it's just a selfish nature. The object of faith is no longer Christ, but our self-esteem. The goal of faith is no longer holiness, but our happiness. And the source of Christian music currently reflects this. We are producing a generation of people that feel their God, but do not know their God. We have seen a solemn and sacred duty to communicate through music the fathomless riches of God's eternal word. The word of God is the most holy thing we will ever hold in our hands in this lifetime. And this is what John MacArthur says. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Read it to be wise, believe it to be saved, and practice it to be holy. Lamentably, the music of heaven has been sold to the world, to the ones who had the deepest pockets and made the sweetest promises. In a very real sense, Simon the sorcerer has succeeded in purchasing the work of God from the apostles of our industry, Acts 8:14-25. What has been the result of this partnering with the world? Gospel music today has become music for the moment, but not for eternity. Transitory, temporal, trivial messages that devalue deity and raise felt need affairs above eternal real need concerns. Produce disposal, consumer-driven, cotton-candy music. This is playing marbles with diamonds. We are unequally yoked with unbelieving world. Sin goes undisciplined, is even tolerated for some artists because of their visibility and sales power, and the truth and authority of scriptures is all but abrogated. Biblical illiteracy is pandemic. Accountability to the local church has all been abandoned. Moral pluralism and erroneous forms of ecumenism are the doctrines of today. A politically correct reductionist gospel that appeals only to the flesh and methodology and communication through the arts have sought to replace the true gospel. According to Jesus' evidence in the fruit of the obedient life fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit and his truth. And it just go on to say, and I wanted to bring this out in Matthew, it says, narrow way, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware, listen to what Jesus said. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth evil fruit. You see what God is saying? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And I don't care how they try to mix it in with Christian, with Christ-likeness, you're going to know a wolf, because a wolf cannot pretend for too long. What's in that person is going to come out of that person. So if he's steeped in a lot of perverseness, it's going to come out eventually. He can only act for so long. If the music industry, they are singing about Jesus for a certain minute of time, then when you see that they're living contrary to the scripture, it'll come out some kind of way. You'll hear about somebody getting a divorce or somebody having an affair with somebody. And it goes on to say, because in this postmodernism, sin is not addressed. They say it'll offend people to talk about sin. So we don't want to talk about anything in the Bible that has something to do with sin. Or you hear our preacher, one of the preachers, famous, 20,000-plus preacher, he members, he say he don't talk about sin. He don't even teach on sin. He don't have, because people know where they are. You see what I'm saying, how the church compromised just to get people in there? And if you got deep pockets, if you got a lot of money, oh, you sure, they're going to sweep that under the carpet. Let's listen now. Let's go on. It says, biblical Christianity means joined to Jesus Christ through faith in what he did for us at the cross, then allowing him to live his life through us so that others might know him and see his love. The love may include sharing his warnings as well as his promises with those in need. The established church, like Old Testament Israel, has always tended to drift away from its devotion to God and become just other institutions. That's what you see today. Church is not church as you like it used to be. It's an institution. It's a theater style. It's this postmodernism. You can't hardly tell the church from just a regular stadium. It says, like in the Old Testament, God became just other institutions, subject to the same human impulses and painful consequences as the rest of the world. Please don't blame human evils on straw men or convenient cultural distortions of Christianity. Consider some of the differences between biblical faith and today's cultural deviations. Now, I want to bring something out here. Biblical Christianity, only understood by those who are joined to Christ through the cross. Cultural Christianity said, believed by the masses to represent genuine Christianity. So what they're saying is, what did I just read? Broad is the way. If you got a big following, you got a lot of people. That's what they define Christianity today. They're not even listening to pretty much what that man say because they're so wooed by the crowd or they're so wooed by, you got your cappuccino, like we said last week, you got all these activities. Everything is replacing Jesus Christ. Let's go on. Biblical Christianity, a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ based on faith. That's John 17:20-26 and Romans 8:37-39. Cultural Christianity, a religion based on humanistic logic, feel-good experiences, and popular interpretations of scriptures. You notice they cannot just bring the scripture verbatim from the Word of God. They always got to take it and twist it to fit them. They take the scriptures to fit their lifestyle, to make people comfortable. So they're not going to talk on sin. They're not going to talk on greed and avarice. They won't talk on that. So they're going to twist it, and they're going to just say everybody is happy. Every day is Friday. You see how deceptive the enemy is, and he's coming in the church. And where's the men and women of God that will stand up and say, you are out of order, you are in error? Let's go on. Biblical Christianity, the absolute unchanging word of God, the Bible is inspired and guarded by God, including its honest report about evil acts among God's people. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. Okay, culture Christianity, a collection of guidelines, allegories, myths, and stories useful for good living. Offensive verses must be ignored. So if it's something in the Bible they think that would offend their congregation, like say talking on homosexuality or talking on fornication or talking on gambling, oh, they're not going to do that because they don't want to offend their congregation. Okay, let's go on. I got a few more, and then I'll be out your way. Okay, biblical Christianity, God's approval to know him, do his will, follow his way, and live each moment in fellowship with him by his wonderful grace, Galatians 1 and 10. Cultural Christianity, people's approval. To please, not offend, the world and its communities, fun, feel-good fellowship. And we told you how Rick Warren went out in the community, he got a survey, and he wanted to survey the people on what they want out of a church. How are you going to ask unbelievers what they want out of a church? An unbeliever don't want nothing godly. They're going to tell you about all the different programs they want. Well, we want ice skating for our kids, and we want to go on trips. But they're not going to tell you we want God. We're hungry for the word of God. Men of God, stand up. Be who God called you to be. Let's go on. Biblical Christianity, God's unlimited grace and power, Galatians 2:20, Philippians 4:19. Culture Christianity, our human abilities plus God's help when needed. You see? Let's go on. Weak, inadequate, apart from God. This is what biblical Christianity says. But culture Christianity says strong and capable if we have confidence in self. You see that humanistic thinking? And then you even use scriptures. Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it's all carnal crap. It's all a lot of carnality. That's all they talk about. They'll talk about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me when they're trying to get some money. But why don't you use that same scripture when you need to live right? Why don't you apply that to your everyday life and then say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Biblical Christianity leading to spiritual bondage and death. That's Romans 6:23. Culture Christianity, a normal part of life, ignore it or you might offend someone or enjoy it, for God understands you need your needs and inclinations. Biblical Christianity, confessions and faith, trust in Jesus as the Lamb, our Savior, who bore our sins on the cross, Romans 6:1-6. Culture Christianity, try to do better next time or just tolerate it. Don't offend anyone by making them feel guilty. Don't you hear that all the time? And that's why I was talking about the music industry. You have these self-professing people on TV saying they're Christians. They hopping in and out of bed with everybody. They singing about, they holding parts on their body that they shouldn't even be holding. But you saying you're Christian. But there is no one to address these issues. You got some preachers preaching out, but see, they're not the mainstream. We're not the mainstream. The big T.D. Jakes and the people like that, they're not talking out against this stuff. They just saying, oh, we're not going to judge them. God knows. So you can keep bringing them money. Biblical Christianity, bring people to Christ, demonstrate God's love, trust God to meet needs by his Spirit, working through our surrendered lives, Romans 12:9-18. Culture Christianity, bring people to the church or group. Don't tolerate uncompromising Christians who might offend people. Do others as you would have others do you. Biblical Christianity, trust God to use suffering to deepen our faith and endurance, prepare us for ministry and demonstrate his love and power, 2 Corinthians 1:3-11. Culture Christianity, pray, endure, and trust that God will help. It's okay to challenge God's love, power, and purpose, and to seek quick relief through whatever means available, no matter how it conflicts with his word. Biblical Christianity, trust and follow God, no compromise, rather die than betray our Lord. That's Romans 12:1-2. Culture Christianity, trust and follow feelings and human logic. Compromise essential to avoid offending the world. Biblical Christianity, face rejection and persecution. John 15:20-21. Culture Christianity, get along and influence the world. Remember that? Now they got this favor. Oh, you got favor. Well, when you're teaching the word of God, the devil don't like you. The devil don't want to be around you. So you may not have favor. I'm just being real with you. Now, God can open doors where you can get the word out, and he can open doors and find favor that way. But if you're at a workplace and you're around a lot of sinners and you just live the life without compromise, a lot of times, people don't want to be around you like that. So I'm just telling you the truth. Biblical Christianity, trust and follow God, no compromise. Okay, I read that. Biblical Christianity, face rejection and persecution. And culture Christianity, say you got to get along with the world. Biblical Christianity, bring God's love and good news to the needy, then bring the needy to Jesus. Culture Christianity says adapt the church to the community, like I told you with Rick Warren, so that everyone will feel at home. So whatever the world, the community wants, that's what you bring in your church. Whatever they tell you they want, that's what you adapt the church to. And this is the last one. Biblical Christianity, eternity with Jesus, our shepherd and king, 1 Peter 1:3-9. Culture, Christianity, success, acceptance of all people, fun and fellowship in this life. Not think about the life to come. Just enjoy life, live it up to the fullest, every day, Friday. Live your best years now. Where is God? Where is God? Christians, we have to wake up and we have to speak up. And if it means just speaking up and telling the truth, and like I said last Friday, if that means that we don't have number of 5-10 people sitting there. If they're getting the word and they're living in a life that is, you know, pleasing to God, that's all that matters to me. It's not about a lot of bling bling and all this stuff that the church is singing about. It's not about that. But it's about if I die tonight, will my soul be with the Lord? And these are the questions we need to bring back to the church. Are you ready? If you should die tonight, if Jesus would call you home tonight, are you going to say, just like the rich young ruler, he couldn't even follow Jesus because he was so caught up in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus' heart was saddened because we are so entangled with the world as Christians, we're not willing to leave the world and follow Jesus. You remember the song, I have decided to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. Where is the church today? They have decided to follow the world and they leave Jesus. So whatever the world say, they'll try to say, well, I'll keep Jesus, but I can compromise. And this is what we see today. Well, I can have Jesus, but I can compromise, because if it means getting the money, I'm going to compromise my belief. We need to stop. We need to stop. Now, with that, I spoke my 30 minutes, and I hope you enjoyed that. And we love you, and I don't want you to think that we're coming off strong and hard, but there's an urgency. And when we take passion in when we teach. And, you know, for some people who maybe say, oh, they just so, they be yelling. No, I don't want you to think like that, because we're not. We love you. What we're doing is a passion. There's an urgency going forth in the land. When you see people that are being destroyed, people that pastors are not pastoring them, they're not shepherds. They're just hirelings. They're just taking their money. They don't care about their souls. And it's so sad how Whitney Houston, she was around all these big-time preachers, and the poor lady died bound up. You see what I'm saying? So we have more to do than just stand behind a pulpit and talk a lot of stuff that is not even relevant. Pastors need to start really preaching the word. So with that, I'm going to close out, and I'm going to yield the next 30 minutes to Pastor Bobby. Y'all be blessed, and we hope to see you in Canton, Georgia. Just come and fellowship with us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank the Lord for Sister Montgomery, as she's bringing that out, what's happening in the church, part two. And we're dealing with that. She was talking about the emerging church and postmodernism. And what I'm going to bring out is strictly the Word of God, and it's going to tie into what she was saying. I'm coming out of Galatians 3, Ephesians 5, and Romans 6. And it's really basically, Paul is basically addressing these same issues that we're addressing now. But he just comes straight out with it. Coming out of Galatians 3. Galatians 3 and 1 reads like this. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Say, the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. We'll read a little more. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right, now I'm going to go right over here to Ephesians 5 now and just read the scriptures to you and see how that goes against the emerging church and this postmodernism that we've been talking about. Now, in Ephesians 5, it reads like this. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. I'll read this again. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awakest thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So then ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So that right there in Ephesians 5 and in Galatians 3, it talks about faith in God. Now, Ephesians 5 talks about the love to Christ in how you live your life on a daily basis. And it mentions all the things that's going to keep you out of the kingdom of God. It names all the things that will separate you from Christ in Ephesians 5. But it also spoke of the various fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, it says, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, I'm going to go to Romans 6. Now, what we're talking about is in reference to the emerging church and postmodernism. Whereas you see in the emerging church and postmodernism, they're mostly talking about things of a carnal nature, the human mind, the human soul, the carnal nature. You're going after the things of the world. You're mixing the world in the church, and you can't do that. The scriptures I have read to you emphasize that you can't do that. But I'm going to go and read something out of Romans 6. Now listen to this. Romans 6 and 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now, I'm going to skip down a little bit. Let's see now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, and all that we have said on tonight, it goes back to a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, we worship the Lord. We worship God. We don't worship men. We follow the word of God. We don't follow what men say that is contrary to the word of God. Now, we have been talking about postmodernism, we have been talking about the emergent church, and they are talking about things that are contrary to the word of God. They're not talking about the things that I just mentioned in Galatians 3. They're not talking about the things I just mentioned in Ephesians 5. They're not talking about the things I just mentioned in Romans 6. But these things have to be talked about because these things bind people, confuse people, and destroy people. Jesus Christ and the apostles, they spoke the truth in righteousness. When they saw people going astray, they did not say, well, we're afraid that we're going to offend them, so therefore we won't tell them the truth, we'll just let them be lost. No, they didn't do that. What did Romans 6 and 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? They're not saying that now. They're saying you can basically come to church, not repent. You can accept the Lord Jesus Christ, but you don't repent now. You don't turn from your wicked ways. You don't stop sinning, but you're going to still go and make it into the kingdom. You're going to still please God. No, you're not pleasing God like that. You're not pleasing God like that. The word tells you that. Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe the word of God, or you're going to believe some man? You're going to have faith in God, like it says in Galatians, or you're going to have faith in men? No. No. No man can save you. If men could save you, if men could show us the right way, Jesus Christ would not have had to come. Jesus Christ would not have had to come, live on this earth, go up on the cross, be crucified, die, be in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, be resurrected, go back to the Father, sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He would not have had to send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to indwell us and fill us and guide us and teach us if man had the answers. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to have faith in? Huh? Hmm? What are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? What's happening in the church? Part two. What's happening in the church is false doctrine, postmodernism, emergent thinking is crept in. Apostasy has crept in. And what is apostasy? Apostasy is someone who once believed the truth or once adhered to the truth going to something that is not true. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? No. No. Mm. The scripture tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not from these false teachings that go on forth that teach you that the more money you get, the more stuff you get, the better you look, the more education that you have, your eloquence of speech, your eloquence of preaching is what's going to get you in. It's what's pleasing to God. No, not necessarily. Now, God can bless you to have these things. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. It's not something that you have to seek. The only thing we have to seek is Jesus Christ and him alone and his word. And we follow that. So what's happening in the church today? People have stopped following Jesus Christ. Who are they following? They're following the doctrines of men. They're worshiping men. They're worshiping things. They're worshiping money. But they're falling away from Jesus Christ. And then when people tell them and correct them in the way that they should go in Christ, they want to fall away. Now, why do they want to fall away? Because they have been fed poison. They have been fed arsenic. They have been fed false doctrine. They have twisted the truth. Mm-hmm. They've twisted it. They've made it of no avail because they put so much of man's doctrine in the word that is canceling out what Jesus is saying. And what Jesus meant, and what Jesus has done. Look, we got to wake up. We got to come out of this sleep. We got to come out of this sleep. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up. Children of the Most High God, come out of that. Stop eating that junk. Stop eating that trash. Let's eat some real meat. Let's be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We got to come out from among this stuff. We got to be separate from it. We got to be real. We have to be real. Real in what? Real in Christ Jesus. The power of the living God, the Holy Ghost, should shine through us that people can see Christ in us, that our life would be a witness for Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be like the world. We're not to be like the world. What did Peter say? We are like what? Pilgrims and strangers. We're like aliens. Not outer space aliens, but aliens because we are apart from the world and that Christ Jesus is living in us and should shine through us. It's all in the Word. People of the Most High God, get in your Word. Study God's Word. Read it for yourself. Look, if I'm not teaching the Word of God, don't listen to me. I'm teaching the Word of God, straight from the Scripture. If you doubt it, go read it for yourself. If you don't believe what I'm saying, go read it for yourself. Go to Ephesians 5. Go to Galatians 3. Go to Romans 6. Go to the New Testament. Go to the Old Testament. Read the Word of God. Go to the King James Version. That's what you read. You read the King James Version. Because you got a lot of books out there that's perverted. You got a lot of books out there in Bibles that take whole scriptures out, change words, corrupt the Word of God. Stay in the King James Version. Stay there. Now, if you want to read a little Hebrew, a little Greek, you can do that too. But keep it in the Word of the living God. Now, we have a call-in number here, 1-323-375-0849. We got about 7 minutes left. 323-375-0849. If you have a question you want to ask, you can call in. You have a few minutes left. That's 1-323-375-0849. Now, as we were saying, we were talking about this emergent church postmodernism, which deals in fleshly things. We know what fleshly things are. We know what carnal things are. But we just read scripture, and all our scriptures, and Jesus Christ was talking about that inner man, the soul man, your spirit, and how that can be strengthened, whereas you don't have to be a sinner anymore. Now, I know. Oh, we got a caller here, 9630. All right. 9630, you have a question or thought?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, doing good.
I just like to say, as far as when you guys were talking about postmodernism, the things that's going on in the church.
Yeah.
I truly know exactly what you're saying. I mean, it's prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
But what would you say for those that we have a lot of zero percenters, people that choose not to go to any church?
Mm-hmm.
So what would your advice be to those that these people are not in church and someone is going to be in front of them to try to make a difference, whether it's a Christian or whether it's a person that's a non-believer? So what's your advice on that issue right there, the ones that don't go to church? Like, you know, for me, for instance, I mean, a lot of people that I see, you know, just in my career as a trainer and everything, they don't go to church. They don't belong to church. I mean, only on holidays or things like that. But what would you suggest in that area?
Well, to be truthful, you know, Scripture tells us to forsake and not to assemble yourselves together as some don't. But what I would say is, if a person believes in God, and if a person studies the Scripture, and a person wants to obey God, and he wants to strengthen himself in God, well, many times he's going to want to be around other believers that believe like him. Now, if he's not saved, then the only way you can reach these people is, and they have, first of all, if they have a desire for God, God will lead someone to them to share the gospel with them. And that's the start. But see, it's not so much about the church is a group of people. Ecclesiastes is a group of people that come together. It's not necessarily a church building per se, but you're going to need some strength around you so that you can be strong in this evil day. But for people who don't go to church or won't go to church, it's a reason that they don't go to church or won't go to church. And God knows what that is. But if they're seeking the Lord, if they're seeking the Lord, God will send somebody to them. I was hearing someone else. What was it?
Well,
what was it?
Me. I was just saying, a lot of times, too, when they don't go to church, they've seen so much hypocrisy in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go back to postmodernism, Jesus didn't have to do a lot of entertainment and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that to get them in the church. They've seen the
mm-hmm.
power of God moving. And
yes.
I would guarantee you, when they start back to seeing the power of God going for it, people being set free here, look at in the 70s. They would
mm-hmm.
pack out whole auditoriums.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Swaggart, a lot of these old preachers, pack it out because we would just be going to get Jesus, to get God.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about a lot of entertainment. It was just a heart that was searching, looking for God. So if we turn back and the preachers start back to preaching the word and you
mm-hmm.
get all these Hollywood-style preachers off the TV,
mm-hmm.
they would start hungering after God. But I think it's just been a turnoff because when you cut on the TV, that's all you see.
That's right.
We have another call.
So one last question. I mean, so when it comes really down to it, we as Christians, we as believers of the Most High God, you know, we as those that believe in the blood of Jesus Christ and that he died on the cross for our sins. I mean, I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about that people. So for
mm-hmm.
us, God, based on the Holy Spirit and everything, God placed people in our lives deliberately for us to be that light,
mm-hmm.
that we're
that's
not lampshading on the table. So we, the Christian,
yeah.
these type of conversations, you know, talking to Pastor Montgomery and Sister Missionary Montgomery, these things right here is what stimulates my mind to the point of, if it's not happening, then Dion, why is not happening? You know, what is it that you're not doing? Because it should always be, we're an influence. We're the example of God. And to me, about that, so I say that really brings it on home.
Yeah.
We have to work on ourselves. We say, everyone's saying they're Christian. They just fling it around just like everybody say they're in love. You know, just the way that disrespecting the vow of marriage, you know. But with all that being said, it makes me want to look at me in the mirror and make sure that
mm-hmm.
I'm being held accountable. Make sure I have that conscience when I do things that's not right.
Yeah.
You know, to humble myself before the Lord and ask for forgiveness. So,
mm-hmm.
hey, I appreciate it.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. We got another caller here, 1231. You're live. You have a question. We've got a little over a minute left. What? 1231.
Yes. How you doing?
Okay.
Hello?
We're listening. We're here.
Well, you know, I hear the messages about the postmodernism.
Yeah.
In
mm-hmm.
the church. Well,
yeah.
I was in the military and.
Yeah.
I tend to come across a lot of people who call themselves, they say they're Christians,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time they say they're Freemasons too. And I see a lot of that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
even at the church I go to, I see a lot
mm-hmm.
of Freemason symbols and Freemason signs in the cars. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I see all this stuff going on. And I just was wondering, what is your outlook on that? Because, you know, they'll tell you quick, oh, I'm a Christian.
Well,
I'm a Freemason too.
Well, what they are,
you know,
what
so,
they are, they're, I'll be truthful, they're deceived. It's a deception. And that's how postmodernism and emergence work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a deception. And
mm-hmm.
you can't be a Christian and a non-Christian at the same time.
Right.
Oh, and we're
off there.
And we're all there.
Call us back next week. Be blessed.
Y'all be blessed, okay?
All right. Bye. Good night.
Good night. Bless you all.
Say the name of Jesus. Say the name of